Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Matters of the Heart, Wednesday, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. It's 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, where I am in the deep south of USA. Welcome and thank you. Thank you for your love and your support. Again, I hope you had a blast of a good time this past Labor Day weekend. I hope you enjoyed Monday night's broadcast also, as mellow as it was. And today it is Hump Day, and I hope you are enjoying your hump day or doing the best that you can. You ever had those days where you just do the best you can to get through the day? You get to lunch hour, right? Those of you that's at work know what I'm saying. If only you could get to lunch hour and enjoy your meal or whatever you have planned for lunch hour. But thank you again for your support. Today we're going to talk about, you know, we could talk about anything that you call in to talk about in regards to matters of the heart and also hot topics that's happening. Speaking of hot topics, they announced Dancing with the Stars contestants this morning on Good Morning America. I almost missed the announcement because I was watching MSNBC, watching the president's press conference as he visits Sweden. But today we're talking about how to not allow stress to negatively affect one's love life. You know, we all are dealing with stress. You know, some of us that think that we are living a 100% stress-free life, sometimes stress can easily sneak up on us. But there are some of us that are on edge all the time. And then there are some of us that have to deal with people that are always on edge because they're so full of stress. And what's amazing, I don't know what's worse, to know you're full of stress or not know you're full of stress. You know, some people, have you ever been told or told others that, cool off, chill, relax. You might not realize how stressed you are, but we all know that we all experience some form of stress. We have to watch our stress levels if it's a little or a lot, right? And so especially if we're in a relationship or if we are seeking to be in a new relationship or like myself, you know, wouldn't mind being struck by Cupid, you know, just surprisingly, you know, not really looking, but then, you know, hey, well, if Cupid strikes, hey, okay, let's deal with this. But, you know, it's important for us how do we deal with stress? Because really, if when you're in a relationship, you're dealing with yourself, or you're married and we have kids and all that, you're not only dealing with your stress, you're dealing with other people's stress, and they're dealing with your stress. If you don't have a significant other, but still you have some type of romantic life, if you're just out there dating or seeking to re-enter the dating world, you know, stress is, you know, I've always heard of good stress and it's bad stress, but then there's stress can affect our love life negatively, right? So I've been researching and studying, and then, you know, we all are human. We have our own experiences that we can share in regards to how stress negative effects on our own beings and also affect our love life. And stress affects how we deal with our cohorts and our coworkers and our peers and with people that we do business with, our clients and customers and all that. So, because, you know, a lot of times we're told, what? Leave it at the door. If you work for yourself or if you go on a job, you know, ever since I was a little girl, you know, I've always been taught and grown and groomed in the business, how to act and how to react in the business culture, you know, as an entrepreneur or working for a business. And ever since I was a little girl, I've always heard you leave leave home at the door. Leave home at the door when you walk in. So, A lot of us are dealing with stress. If it's not from work, it might be from home. You have to leave your home, stress at home. But when you're dealing with your love life is part of you. And, I see even dealing with my cohorts and peers, you know, some people like to mix business with pleasure, but then there are some people that have strict rules, as in keep your business and your personal life separate, you know, and there's a proper way for people to do that. To each his own, you know how to do that. And I guess this is just my intro going on and on about stress. I'd love for you to call in or chat with me in the chat room about how not to allow stress to negatively affect one's love life. You know, it's good when the show's interactive because I wanted to become a industrial get my master's or become a industrial psychologist before in another life. I am not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. But I am a human being with life experiences, and we all are human beings that deal with stress. So it's important for us to share our experiences and share do's and don'ts of how we can deal with this. So it would be good if you can call in or chat in the chat room. And, you know, we often, those of you that I come in contact with in person online, we often talk about topics like this and share informations and prayers with one another of how people can deal generally with everyday life. Even this morning on Facebook, I was on a ball this morning. I caught myself refraining from Facebook and a lot, but this morning I was on a roll, and it still happened. I said something. I was like saying good morning and all that, and saying keep your head up, and then I went into saying I had a thought. And the thought was that good days sometimes turn bad. Bad days sometimes turn good. But it's how we deal with our daily life experience that is of importance. You know? And trust God. Number one, trust in God, trust in your higher power. Trusting, if you're atheist, you know, being positive, keeping that good, positive vibe hat on, you know, but if you trust in God, Allah, Jehovah, it's important to trust God, because have you ever been that way, felt like your day was just a good day, and all of a sudden, you know, I experienced that recently, my birthday weekend, right? The day before my birthday, right? You guys know, my dog, I thought she was doing good and was recovering from not feeling good. She was looking good, feeling good, acting better. And before the end of the day, you know, I come home and she passed away. You know, you all know how I was loving this month and loving my birthday weekend. And then I was happy that my dog was getting better for my birthday and birthday weekend. And that Saturday, that day before, it was a good day, but it turned to a bad day. Then sometimes we experience days that we think we do not want to roll out and get out of bed, but it's all of a sudden just a ray of sunlight enters our life on that day. So it's how we deal with our daily lives and our daily life experience. And believe me, I am talking from not only reflections of other lives, but really, you all know, many of you know this, if you're a new friend or been a lifelong friend of mine, I'm talking from experience. We have to keep believing. Like our dear friend Neil Thacard has been a guest. It was a guest last October. I can't believe it's been almost a year since he's been a guest on the show. He recently celebrated a birthday on August 22nd. We got to get him back on the show. I didn't know it was going to take this long to get him back. But like Neil Thacard, my dear friend, who's a real estate investor in Chicago, he keep pushing. That's one of his good sayings. Always keep pushing. So we keep pushing in all aspects of our lives, you know, for us to all live that well-balanced life. You know, sometimes it appears to be easy. Sometimes it appears not to be, just like I was saying about how a good day can turn bad and a bad day can turn good. But regardless of it all, it's how we deal with those daily life experiences that is of importance. And put trust in God, putting God first. This is not something. I know it's not like I'm speaking a speech, but this is nothing that I have planned. I'm not looking at notes. I'm speaking from my heart. I'm speaking from my mind. I'm speaking from my soul. I'm speaking from my being. Regardless, you know, some of you might say, "Golly, she and her friends are crazy," but this is how it is. You know, we just. I know I'm sounding rather poetic, but that's just what's flowing through me, and that's what I'm vibing off of. That's important to share. Somebody needs to hear it. I know look, I'm talking and I'm listening too. I'm enjoying myself. But I'm headed to the chat room. Also, you know the number is 714-409-0614. Who's ready for some football? It's time for regular football season. So hopefully we can talk a little bit about other news, also squeeze some of everything in. But thank you for your love and support, and let's continue on. And we're talking about how not to allow stress to negatively affect one's love life. Here's more Prince and 3EG, Third Eye Girl. Thank you. Third Eye Girl.
Cuando camino, no estoy sola. Tengo un compañero de viaje aquí mismo, en mi vientre. Vemos un montón de cosas juntos. Bueno, él no las ve, pero creo que de alguna manera las vive. Quiero que nazca y vea las maravillas que este mundo puede ofrecer. Pero lo que más me interesa es que esté sano. Por eso camino. Y no soy la única persona que camina por mi bebé. Mucha gente lo hace al unirse a la marcha por los bebés. En nuestras caminatas estamos solamente yo y él y unos cuantos millones de personas que se preocupan por los bebés.
Un día todos los bebés nacerán sanos, pero tendremos que caminar para lograrlo. Participa en la marcha por los bebés de March of Dimes. Juntos podemos brindar a todos los bebés un comienzo sano. Visita hoy mismo nacersano.com para registrarte.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field. Staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date. Wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
This is Janice Nolan with the American Lung Association. I am Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy, and I'm here to talk about our report, State of the Air. In State of the Air, we look at the impacts of two of the most widespread air pollutants in the country, ozone and particle pollution. Ozone is a molecule of three oxygen atoms. It's the most widespread air pollutant that there is in the nation. Ozone isn't emitted directly, but it comes when we burn fossil fuels and produce things like volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxides. Both of those, when they get into the atmosphere and in the presence of sunlight and heat, react chemically in the atmosphere to create ozone. So ozone often shows up at its highest place, far away from where the raw ingredients are made. Ozone irritates your lungs, leaving them with something like a bad sunburn. It can cause health problems the day you breathe it in, or even days afterwards. Particle pollution is a different chemical altogether. In fact, particle pollution is a mixture of mixtures. It is a noxious mix of microscopic bits of soot and ash, exhaust, chemicals, metals, and aerosols. Particles are the most dangerous and deadly of the outdoor air pollutants that are widespread in America. Particles that we're looking at are so tiny they're impossible to see. We compare them to the diameter of a human hair. The diameter of a human hair is 70 microns. The particles we're talking about are no bigger than 1/7 the diameter of your hair. And the smallest ones we're looking at are actually no bigger than 1/30 the diameter of the human hair. Particle levels can spike dangerously for hours to weeks on end, or reach high levels day in and day out for most of the year. We look at these in both ways because the impacts, either for high spikes or for lower levels at day in and day out, can be very deadly. The science is clear. Particle pollution can kill. Breathing it can lead to heart attacks, asthma attacks, and strokes, and it can affect how your children's lungs grow and develop. Particle pollution may be even more deadly than we previously thought. Recently, California experts tripled their estimate of the number of people that particle pollution kills each year in California. And that number is roughly 18,000. The equivalent of a small city.
Wow. That's always, whenever I hear that PSA, it just makes me think. So as we talk about stress and how to not allow stress to negatively affect our love life and in our life in general, you know, I live a loving life. That's a good way to put it, right? I'm looking where a lot of articles and a lot of research that I've been looking at, and also reflecting on my own life and how I deal with it. Because you know, if you're a stressful person, you can. That's a way not to attract people. Period. And good positive energy in your life. Period. And I'm checking out this excuse me, this blog right now from Jean Pham, a life coach. And her blog is called Become a Badass in Business and Life. And so there's a blog that I'm looking at, and I've shared it on Facebook, and I shared it on Twitter and Pinterest and other places also, entitled How to Detox Your Life of Negative People and Not Feel Bad About It. You know, sometimes we have to detox our lives of, we have to detox. Garbage in, garbage out. We had to get the garbage out of our lives, you know, the negative situations within our lives. And sometimes that means getting out of a romantic relationship that's unhealthy and that is very toxic. So you can have that positive vibe and that positive energy and feel good from within about yourself to attract that right person, to have that good love life, you know. But she goes on to say the quote by Mark Twain: keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that, but really great make you feel that you too can become great. Again, at the beginning of her blog, she shares Mark Twain's quote: keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that, but the really great make you feel that you too can become great. That's good. And so she goes on to say that firstly, her definition of a toxic person is someone who complains and dumps their problems on you, but doesn't do anything to change their situation. And the thing is, doesn't do anything to change their situation. You know, we all have the people, and we sometimes do this. Go to people and talk about certain things that ain't right in our lives. Ain't right. I said that on purpose. Ain't right in our lives. But then we don't do anything. We're still, like, fumbling with our hands and da-da-da-da-da-da going about life. But there's a difference in people who do their best to make a change to live differently. But then a toxic person is a person who complains and dumps their problems on you but doesn't do anything to change their situation is what she shares. Someone who is not supportive, someone who makes you feel bad, someone who shoots down your bright ideals, big goals or bold and risky decisions that you need to make in order to be successful. It's definitely, this article, she says, isn't intended to reprimand or paint toxic people in a negative light. Toxic people using a place in their life. And you know what? And all of us probably have been and are toxic at some point in our lives. You know, some of us probably have experienced being, you know, sometimes people feel like, hey, I don't need this Bethany in my life right now. She's not what I need in my life right now. But should we be offended? No, because we all experience that, right? We all go through that. Sometimes maybe we are considered toxic to others. But she goes on to say that toxic people are usually in a place in their life where they are not open to constructive feedback, are changing. So they're stuck in their current situation and don't have the insight to see beyond their own struggles. I think we all have been, most of us have been there, done that, or definitely will be there, done that. And that's okay. She goes on to say that this article is meant to advocate for you so that you don't allow their negativity to impact your life. And so she goes to say, first, why is it important to detox your life of negative people? See, that's a step in not allowing stress to negatively affect our love life. First of all, we got to deal with ourselves and our lives, period, generally, you know. And so she goes to say that negative people slow you down towards achieving your goals. Whether they know it or not, they end up discouraging you from being ambitious or following your dreams by questioning what you're doing and planting doubts in your head. Negative energy from toxic people affect your energy level. Have you ever felt, yeah, I know you guys know that feeling. You feel drained sometimes after experience with a very toxic person, right? You feel like you've been zapped of your energy, if you had any energy anyway, right? Not to mention your stress and anxiety. She goes on to say that ultimately it's your health and your well-being. So you are responsible for taking care of it, exactly. And that's the lane that I am in. Personally, professionally, taking care of my health and my well-being, my loved ones, my family, my 81-year-old mother, her health and well-being is important. But am I any good to anybody in my life, my mom, loved ones, my peers, people who I volunteer with, any potential lover I could have in the near future? You know, am I any good if I don't have my act together? My well-being is not in order. My health is not in order. No. So that we do have to take a responsibility of how we deal with our own situations. And keep our own toxic thoughts out of our head is enough. And then you have to deal with other toxic relationships at home, or just dealing with life, or on the job, or with work, you know. So she goes on to say that negative energy from toxic people affect your energy level. Not to mention your stress and anxiety. Ultimately, it's your health and well-being, so you are responsible for taking care of it. You need to create space for positive change to happen. Being in toxic relationships with people and allowing their negative energy into your life will hold you back from manifesting opportunities for yourself, for your success. Also, releasing negative people will create space for the positive folks to enter who will encourage, support, and help you grow as a person. And growing as a person, and you know, the decade has been very humbling self-discovery experience for me personally. And throughout self-discovery, sometimes you have to realize what is toxic within you. Are you a toxic person, or what areas in your life are toxic? You know, and sometimes it takes some self-discovering, and it takes not resisting the truth about oneself. You know, I've always loved myself, but honestly, there have been some things about me that I not like. And so, are you willing to look at the truth about yourself? And you know, we all experience that. We all are dealing with truths right now, present. We all deal with truths, flaws, habits that we would like to change for the better, right? So, but you have to. We have to honestly look at those truths. And toxic people, though, sometimes will have you believe in untruths about yourself. So it's determining and really looking at what is truth and what is not truth. One thing, one reason why, as a young girl, I've always loved Norman Vincent Peale books. You know, he's always preached about positive imaging and visualizing positive things happening in your life. And that's one thing that his teachings, what I loved about his teachings, is for you to draw those positive images in your mind and to get all that negative thoughts and disbelief and away from you. But to go on to what Chin has written in her blog, in her article, is that you need to create space for positive change to happen. Being in toxic relationships with people and allowing the negative energy into your life will hold you back from manifesting opportunities for your success. Also, releasing negative people recreate space for the positive folks to enter who will encourage, support, and help you grow as a person. And, you know, releasing the negative vibe that you have also within yourself is what I add also. Because what if you get the negative people away, but then you're still negative? You're still looking at things in a pessimistic way. So deal with yourself also. That's what I'm at. Again, how to detox negative people from your life. Number one, she goes on that the step one is to decide that you're worth it. You need to feel as if you're worthy of achieving your goals and changing into a person you want to be. Letting go of any negativity in your life will help you get there faster. You got to be committed to do this for yourself. Otherwise, your guilt for letting go of certain relationships will keep you in the same place. And then how to realize you're worth it. We have to be decisive. She says decide. Simply make the choice and decide that it's time you committed to yourself, your goals, and your dreams, and you won't let anything stop or slow you down from getting there. Think about the negative side effects of holding on to these relationships. Okay? Think about it. Like Norman Vincent Peale says, positive image, visualization. Think about the negative side effects. So you ask yourself, what effects are these relationships having on my life? What are my goals and how badly do I want to achieve them? Are these people supporting my goals or slowing me down? Then you go into step two, identify the toxic folks. Toxic people make you feel worse than when you started talking to them. They bring your energy level down. They leave you feeling bummed out. There's a difference between someone sharing with you their struggles and challenges versus someone who constantly complains. And I talk about this often. And those of you that are longtime listeners or listen to the shows that are archived, one thing I love about it when listeners call in and chat in the chat room and when I have guests booked to share their stories, have you noticed that every guest on this program have shared their stories, their experiences in business and in life, but it's always a story of triumph also, even though they share stories of their struggles and their failures. They also share the stories of their success and how they didn't give up. You know, and so those guests are similar to those friends. Those guests that come on this show, that's amazing. But they share with us their not so good experiences and their ups and downs, but at the same time, leave us feeling so encouraged and believing. You know? And so that's how friends should have us feeling in everyday life. You know? Hey, you can still share your story. And you can still share your life. But other people shouldn't feel bummed out and drained and feel like jumping off a cliff after hearing your story. You know? Should feel encouraged. Not drained, but be encouraged. And I know some of you might be thinking, maybe I should change the way I articulate things. Maybe you should. Maybe I should. You know, because I don't want to be a toxic person to you. While we're talking about other toxic people, we have to look within also and look and see what toxicity we have within ourselves. And but she goes on to say that there's a difference between someone sharing with you their struggles and challenges versus someone who constantly complains. The difference is someone who is generally struggling is willing to listen to constructive feedback and is open to change and does change. Conversely, whiners and complainers, P words that I say, you know what a P word is. whiners and complainers don't want to change and just want you to feel sorry for them. And You know, and even with my experiences, my ups and downs, the last thing I want you to feel is sorry for me. You know, encourage me. I thought, oh, I hope my girl Beth gets pulled through this one. You know, but, you know, pray for me. You don't feel sorry for me. When I see people going through things, struggles, I don't feel sorry. I feel compassion. There's a difference in feeling sorry and feeling compassion. You feel compassion, you feel empathy, and you feel like, wow, you know, I wish I could do something, or if you can't do something, at least try to get someone else that can, you know. But feeling sorry is not helping anybody. But when you have compassion and working on doing something positive to make better change, that's when you're doing something. Okay, that's me talking. Okay, then you go on to, they shoot down your ideas. The question, what are you doing? They may say something like, well, maybe you shouldn't change careers because you have so much job security. What about your benefits or your retirement? It's pretty common, sometimes subtle and harder to notice. Even though it may sound like they're giving you advice in the end, they're just putting more doubts into your head because your actions may bring up their own fears and insecurities. Times that people can fall within the spectrum of being subtly drained into all around toxic and hostile, very critical of you. But even if they fall on the less severe end of the toxic people spectrum, they will still bring you down. People don't need to be outright poisonous to affect you negatively. You know what? I have been around some toxic people. I even heard things that toxic people said about me in the past. And then even if you know it's not true, sometimes if you don't have your mind is not focused, you will start believing what toxic people say about you. So it's important. That's why it's important. You know, you need to know what's true and not true, because that's some wild stuff right there. Number three, let them go. Just start. Use whatever method you think is appropriate. Avoid them. Don't pick up their calls. Apologize for being distant, but you don't need to explain why or defend your actions. And, you know, a lot of us feel like we need to explain. Then you go on to say you don't have to explain anything to them unless you feel need to because they're being persistent and pushy. This is because they are probably not in a state of mind to listen to what you have to say anyway. They'll probably get on the defensive if you try to explain yourself. Exactly. But then, like my attorney and my friend who has been there for me when others wasn't, my longtime attorney, based in Dallas, he always says, be honest. And so if they're being persistent and they're being pushy, I believe then don't make up anything, be honest. Probably it's best to be simple with the honestly, point to the point blank, quick and out, you know, quick. Keep it what I always learned in my sales and marketing classes and dealing with sales and marketing, keep it short and simple. Keep it short and sweet. You know, do it with a kiss. That's the acronym, KISS. You know, that's what I'm thinking. And then you go on to say, to do it gracefully and with love. Send them off with love and a prayer. Be open to the possibility that if and when they're ready to change, be more positive and supportive, then you would be open to rekindling the relationship. Exactly. Not that it's over, but until you are more in a positive mode about life in general, and especially in the aspect of things that I'm doing, then I think we need to be on hiatus, you know? Step four, don't feel guilty. Again, you are worth it. You must be your own best friend. If you don't take charge of your life, nobody will do it for you. Ooh, yes, Lord. Lord, give me strength. I have learned that from experience. You do. Then you are not abandoning them, even though you may feel like that. There is a distinction between abandoning someone versus letting them go so they can find their own way. If you already tried giving them advice, encouragement, or even a wake-up call, and nothing happened, then no amount of wise words from you would change their thinking or behavior. You know, and this is good advice. I'm absorbing what is being said. You know, to be a less toxic person myself, as happy-go-lucky as I would like to believe I am, you know, we all know we have our toxic moments and our toxic phases that we experience. Then it's she says that it's not your obligation. You may keep these people in your life because you feel like you have to or you're obligated to. Maybe they've been your closest friends since grade school, or maybe they're your cousin and feel obliged through your blood ties. Whatever the reason, people grow and change, and it's okay for relationships to evolve. And then she goes on to conclude the article, I believe we're concluding it, as bring in the positivity, baby. Surround yourself with positive people. And these are people who support your ambitions. And I want to shout out my amazing support team of people from childhood friends to my new friends on and offline to people that I work with in beauty and fashion, entertainment, sports, and in the volunteering world and being compassionate for our communities, for my prayer warriors, people that we pray for one another, you know, support ambitions and allow one another to really look at what's important, you know, what's rational. You know, we do have our grandiose dreams, some of us, and sometimes those grandiose dreams come true, right? But, you know, but being realistic about life and focus on our goals and dreams and supporting one another. So that is amazing. Surround yourself with positive people. You know, and positivity is contagious. These are people, again, who are supportive of your ambitions, encourage your ideas no matter how scary, risky, seemingly unknown the outcome could be, because they know how important it is for you. And, you know, and within my support community and system, ever since I was a kid, you know, I've always dealt with entrepreneurs and people from different backgrounds. My upbringing in my life, I've always been multicultural. Yeah, right here in Mississippi, believe it or not. And spending some time in, you know, I spent a lot of my twenties in the Dallas. But one thing about a lot of people that I network with on and offline are risk takers. And a lot of times people come up with ideas that have never been done before, ways to improve ideas. So, and then you deal with artists and musicians and writers. You know, a lot of times people are, and entrepreneurs, people, loved ones and family often tell people, go and get a job, go and get a J-O-B. And then some people probably work J-O-Bs, but at the same time, they have these talents or other ambitions and goals that they would love to reach, you know. And so it's important to have a very strong support system when you're dealing with things like that. And that's not saying that loved ones are wrong. That's not saying those people are toxic people. But that's why it's important to be around positive people that understand and believe and are praying for you and supporting you. And then she goes on to say, are up to big things. They are people who admire because you think they kick ass in life. And she goes on to say that, you know, there's other articles here on her blog that talk about toxic family members and all that good stuff. I started writing a book in late 2011 about the socioeconomic of the rise, fall, and struggles of the southern middle class. Just paraphrasing it, because I want to get to the other book that I plan to write, and it's an idea I've had for about 15 years about toxic relationships, you know, dealing with toxic relationships and how to, you know, basically get on the right track with dealing with you know, living a toxic-free life or close to a toxic-free life. I just wanted to mention that. But the article ends with, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Jim Rohn. You are the average of the five people you spend time with. That's something to think about, right? So where I was, a few days ago I was thinking, okay, and had really read some interesting articles and wanted to share interesting articles about keeping stress from affecting your love life and your relationships and your marriages. I'm so glad that I stumbled upon this article by Chin Pham, C-H-I-N-H-P-H-A-M. She's a life coach, and her blog is called become a badass in business and life. And I recommend you guys to subscribe to her blog, to her free blog, because that's pretty cool. And wow, I mean, she goes on to talk about herself and her blog and her praise and love and just different things. And I think that is a remarkable article. And I thought, because it talks about how to deal with your life generally, because that's a good way to keep stress from affecting your love life and your marriage and your steady relationships and your romances. And I thought that that would be good advice to share just for your life period, because to keep stress from affecting your love life, a lot of times we need to handle our business in those areas that was shared in that article that I just shared with you. So I have that shared on Facebook, and I'm going to post it on Pinterest and tweet it out and all of that. So, wow. And then there's another article that I'm going to share, and then I'm going to talk about also keeping things positive when you're dealing with your love life. And but since I'm only talking about positive thinking, there's another blog that I've just run across, and it's from Advanced Life Skills, Creating Reality. And this is, can positive thinking really improve your life? And this is a blog from Advanced Life Skills, Creating Reality with Jonathan. Can positive thinking really improve your life? Do you know any critics of positive thinking? Have you heard the argument that positive thinking is just a way of hiding them from reality? The question of whether or not positive thinking has any measurable benefits has interested science for a number of years. For the most part, studies are focused on identifying possible physical benefits. As researchers continue to explore the effects of positive thinking and optimism on health, they've come to some interesting conclusions. The results show that positive thinking benefits include decreased negative stress, greater resistance to catching the common cold, a sense of well-being, and improved health, reduced risk of coronary artery disease, easier breathing if you have a certain lung disease, better coping skills in difficult situations. Okay. And wait a second, my words were blocked for a little bit. Okay. Well, it had the article that I was on, it asked me to subscribe to the article, and then the article disappeared. So if I can get it back up. Okay, I'm back. And the Facebook page is Advanced Life Skills. And then it goes on, Jonathan goes on to write that positive thinking people are happier. Pessimists are more inwardly focused and have more depression, anxiety, and other health problems in general. Positive people have a greater capacity for love, joy, and warmth that brings happiness into their lives and also into the lives of their families and everyone else around them. This increased capacity for love means that they are loved more in return because they are more outwardly focused, kinder, and more considerate to others. Positive thinking people are healthier. It's still somewhat unclear to researchers why people who practice positive thinking experience these health benefits. One theory is that having a positive outlook enables you to cope better with stressful situations, which reduce the harmful health effects of stress on your body. Hello, who wants less stress? Positive thinking people are more successful. To put it another way, successful people tend to think positively. Optimists are happier and more productive in their jobs, get promoted quicker, and earn more than pessimists. These people set higher goals, persist at them longer, and achieve more of them. Turning negative thinking into positive thinking, self-talk has a huge influence on the overall direction of our thoughts. Negative self-talk is an easier habit to slip into, especially if you're surrounded by negative people. So the first step toward a more positive mindset is to change the tone of our self-talk. Like any other bad habit, before we can change it, we need to become more consciously aware that we are doing it. Periodically during the day, stop and evaluate the tone of your thinking and self-talk. If you find that they have been negative, work on finding ways to put a positive spin on them. Make a game out of it. Start by following one simple rule. Don't say anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to anyone else. Don't say anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to anyone else. If it's not worth saying it out loud, it's probably not worthy of saying to yourself. Here are some examples of typical negative self-talk and how you might put a more positive spin on these internal or external conversations. Negative talk. I've never done it before. The positive spin of that, it's an opportunity to learn something. Negative self-talk is too complicated. Positive spin, I'll tackle it from a different angle. Negative self-talk, I don't have the resources. Positive spin, necessity is the mother of invention. Negative self-talk, there's not enough time. Positive spin, let's reevaluate some priorities. Negative self-talk, there's no way it will work. Positive spin, I can learn to make it work. Negative self-talk is too radical a change. Positive spin, let's take a chance. Negative self-talk, no one communicates with me. Positive spin, I will start the conversation. Negative self-talk, I'm not getting any better at this. Positive spin, I want to give it another chance. And then the live stream is going to stop in about 60 seconds. Becoming an optimist. If you tend to have a negative outlook, don't expect to become an optimist overnight, but with practice and focus, you will automatically move away from self-acceptance. You will likely find yourself feeling less critical of the world around you as well. Practicing positive self-talk will improve your outlook. And so you're probably saying, when you're talking, we're not talking really going in hard, talking about our love lives, because we're going to have part two. Obviously, we're going to have part two also, but we will talk about keeping a stress away from, you know, but living more of a stress-free life. When it comes to our love lives, if you're with or without a significant other, if you're casually dating or re-entering the dating world like myself, it's important to have that positivity and not have stress just written off. Right? But to go on about becoming an optimist, you will likely find yourself feeling less critical of the world around you. When you move away from self-criticism and toward more self-acceptance. Practicing positive talk will improve your outlook as your state of mind becomes increasingly more optimistic. You will be able to handle everyday stress in a more constructive way. And then also, if you're not a person that loves the teachings of Tony Robbins like myself, listen to some Tony Robbins and watch some of his videos and read some of his books. And also The Late Zig Ziglar, and also in His son, Tom Ziegler, based in Dallas. Good idea. But then, so what do you think? Can positive thinking really improve your life? Well, let's see. Less stress, happier disposition, better health, and greater success. Sounds pretty conclusive to me. How about you? That's what he writes. Is positive thinking something that you believe in? Do you have other tips to maintain a positive outlook? And so I'm sharing this article. I'm sharing it on Facebook now. I'm tweeting it out. I'm Google Plusing it. I'm pinning it. I'm putting it all over my social media pages and all of that good stuff. So going right now to Pinterest. I have a Pinterest board. You guys know I created my most recent Pinterest board. That I've created has been one in respect to James Franco and his family's work. And he has been sharing pictures galore. And I told him, I said, wow, I shouldn't be short of my images that I share on my new Pinterest board that I've created in respect for you and your family's work. 16 News locally here has announced that James's company and the casting companies are casting right now for black and white male actors, extras, and I guess the small roles also. You know, extras are background actors. And so you can visit WAPT's website, WAPT.com, visit their link. And I'm sure I've been sent an email also from Mississippi a film office in regards to casting information also. So I'll be sharing more information with you all, but WAPT reported on their news broadcast this morning that that there's casting going on in regards to the, again, James Franco is returning to Mississippi. He was here around the time last year filming As I Lay Dying based on a Will Faulkner book, and that's going to hit some U.S. theaters on September the 27th. And so he's back to direct and act in The Sound and the Fury, another William Faulkner book. And so right now they're casting black and white actors. I remember some for the white actors, like the good golfers, some the black actors. It's good to be good swimmers. And then they're also casting for doctors. And I know the casting for like doctors also wrote doctors. I know that much. It's just from my memory. But I'll share that information with you all also. I know I've been Morgan Casting. I'm assuming Morgan Casting, because that's who's been casting the film last year and is handling overall casting this year also. So I believe Morgan Casting has a Facebook page. So you can like their Facebook page also. Those of you that want to stay in the know, like Mississippi Film Office Facebook page also, so you can stay in the know. And go to filmmississippi.org, my bad, filmmississippi.org and visit Mississippi Film Office website. Sign up to receive information also in regards to what's going on in the film industry right here in Mississippi. And what keeps James Franco coming back? You know, Mississippi has an amazing incentive here for those of you that are filmmakers and actors and work in the film industry. And another film is going to begin production here too this fall, and that's the biopic, James Brown. And Tate Taylor, who is a Jackson native who lives in Vicksburg, who also directed The Help. He's going to start begin filming James Brown biopic. And the actor who played in the movie 42, who played Jackie Robinson, that's who's been cast to play the role of James Brown. And we hear also that Mick Jagger is a producer. So, you know, I guess Mick Jagger will be coming to Mississippi, huh, to put his producer hat on. So that's a good thing. So that's some news for some of you all. That need to know that information. I need to pass it on to loved ones that you know would be interested in knowing that. So, again, that's real important. And I received, while I'm on this, Wow. Monday, I told you all Monday night, we're going to talk about the importance of keeping track of your credit reports and credit score. And I've been getting some good emails. And we're about to run out of time, but I want to continue on talking about how to not allow stress to take over our love life. If married for 50 years or newly married or looking for love or not looking for love, just having fun in your dating life, you know, there's ways to keep that stress out of your life, out of your love life, out of our lives, period. And I'm glad that I stumbled upon these articles. That's weird because I did a lot of research and studying and had been sharing articles anyway and networking and talking with people. And it's kind of weird that these articles come up on me doing broadcasts because they're very vital and important to our general life, which includes our love lives, but our general life, our well-being, our living well-balanced lives, because a lot of times that has a lot to do with how our love life is, right? You all hear it. You know, when couples call in, and single people, too, call in, they often share points like that. They often share their experience with people who support their love and people who are very toxic and how they make the decision upon their own selves to stay in it, to win it, you know, and not allow stress to affect their relationship negatively. But, again, thank you for tuning in. I guess we'll take a little music break right quick. Matters of the Heart Wednesday, afternoon version.
Love you.
Feel Me Baby, the one and only Prince. Oh, my God, that song. Oh, my God, that song goes back 30 years. Man, I was a preteen and loved it like crazy. Had never been done before when Do Me Baby came out, but just loved Prince and thinking about Prince. Prince was just, oh, my God, his music. Music's hot. And it was hot then. It's hot now. Amazing, amazing artist. Can't wait till he finally gets his Hollywood a Walk of Fame star, huh? I know. that's something. He doesn't have a star yet. Let's see. I'm checking out an article from Canadian Living, Inspiring Ideas for Every Day, and it's from, I think, 2011. But the tips are, you know, important. How to avoid 5 sources of stress in your relationship. Learn how to relieve stress and anxiety between you and your partner, and how to encourage positive communication in a relationship. And it was published by Claire Penhorwood. And she goes on to say that if the popular self-help book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, that was published in 1992, wow, that's been 21 years ago, taught us anything, it's this: women and men communicate in fundamentally different ways, and communication differences can lead to relationship stress. Understanding which female behaviors may cause your man to get stressed out can keep your relationship conflict-free. We asked the psychotherapist Kimberly Moffitt about the top 5 ways female behavior can stress men out and solutions for how to adjust them. And we need to know, and yeah, and the male behaviors of how men stress women out. Number 1, sweating the small stuff. We feel anxious from time to time, but constantly worrying about day-to-day things like, did I lock the front door? What should I make for potluck next month? Did I remember to pay that bill? Can negatively affect your relationship, especially if your partner is more relaxed than you are. Most women are natural planners and therefore worry more about the future. Men tend to live in the moment. Men are more psychologically wired to need immediate solutions to problems. So men feel stressed when women complain or worry for sake of it, instead of taking action to resolve a problem, says Moffitt. And so they go on to say that try to communicate what's bothering you to your partner, and more importantly, why it's bothering you. If you guys notice, you know, I'm not romantically involved with anybody, and I practice sexual abstinence. I know sometimes it can get kind of difficult, but I do. I do my best to follow Patty Stanger's, you know, the Millionaire Matchmaker, advice on, you know, to abstain until you are in a monogamous relationship. Exclusive, you know. But to go on, I know some of you want to know, because I talk privately to a lot of people, and we have good civil conversations, and, you know, and sometimes people want to know things. And so I'm one that don't mind sharing things about me, about myself. So it goes on to say that, too, constant nagging, both women and men. But what I was about to say is, you know, we never get enough to learn from life experiences and learn from reading, learning from dialogue with others of how to. We're always learning. Every day is a learning experience. Like one of my friends who drive a J-Tram bus, you know, just the other day she was talking about how every day she learns something. We all learn something regardless of our ages. If we're a toddler to 100, every day is a learning experience. And so our love lives are not excluded. If we've been married 50 years or can't get a date to save our lives, we all, you know, it's important to continue learning and educating others also. You know, sometimes it's good to share your story to help others not go down that same path, the do's and don'ts of relationships, right? So we go on to say that, it goes on to say that try to communicate what's bothering you to your partner, and more importantly, why it's bothering you. By giving him a problem to solve in the present, you can achieve a level of contentment with the situation. Number 2, constant nagging. Both women and men can nag and find fault, but women are hardwired to notice that smaller details, whether good or bad. Men, just like women, need to feel important, needed, and competent in a relationship. Exactly. Nagging about little things he does could make him feel inadequate, says Moffitt. And, you know, some men, there are some rare men out there that like to nag also. So, you know, zip it. Instead of nagging, create a positive environment for you and your partner to talk about things that need to be changed in your relationship. Make sure that both sides are heard and that you're equals in the conversation and in the relationship. Yeah, because some people don't want to hear what you have to say. Your relationship involves two people, right? So why should it be just you, what you have to say? Then it goes on to say, number three, playing games. Playing games in relationships can sometimes mask true intentions. It can lead to confusion and stress. That's something that my attorney, my friend, and I, Jay, talk about sometimes. You know, it's not good. You know, he's one of the best divorce attorneys, never lost a custody battle in Dallas. And so, you know, really, don't play games. You know, playing games in relationships, you know, weird. But he's semi-retired now. But, you know, but still, just personally, he and I also, we talk about how people shouldn't play games. Well, you can play games if you want to, but, you know, sometimes some people aren't into playing games. Be straight up, be straightforward, be honest. So it goes on to say that play games relationships can sometimes mess. You can still have a sense of humor and have fun, but playing games in relationships sometimes mess true intentions and can lead to confusion and stress. Men are straightforward creatures. If they don't like something, they will say so. Women are notoriously more complicated and can engage in game playing without even realizing it. By giving your partner the silent treatment of playing hard to get, you're making him guess. In any relationship, honesty is the best policy. Tell your man the truth so that you avoid confusion. Be honest so he knows what you really want. Advise his mouth it. Often you can stop yourself from playing games by putting yourself in your partner's position. I put a song on this. By acknowledging that you wouldn't like to receive this kind of treatment in return, you can stay in tune with how he may be feeling. Then there's number four, teasing him about his appearance. Even the most innocent jokes about body image can be offensive. And guys can be kind of hardcore on us, too, now. You know, men are just as sensitive about their looks as women are. Yeah, some women can be hard on their men or the men in their lives. Many men see their bodies as partially defining who they are as a person. Asking him to lose weight or poke the fun of him can cause severe stress, as Moffitt. He might need to lose weight for a good reason, you know. My mom and my attorney friend, Jay, fat jokes, really, I've had people really encourage me to get on the right track. You know, they really motivated me. They're fat jokes, you know. That's not, you know, not nice. So I don't want to be the butt of their fat jokes. So that even though I have very important and supportive people who have encouraged me, those fat jokes, like, okay. Let's see how long these, you won't be talking about me. Okay, but back to this. But guys are sensitive about how you come on to them about their appearances and so on. I'm going to air that in a second. Many men see their bodies, it can be stressful. But although you both may joke around with each other, it's important to have a sense of humor, right, for a relationship. But, you know, watch out on being hurtful. There's other, like, positive ways to motivate people, you know, really. You always want to make sure your man feels like the best version of himself. He needs to hear how handsome he is and how sharp he looks in a suit. Just as much as you need to hear that you look beautiful. Give your partner positive reinforcement about how he looks, and he'll reciprocate. After all, that's what partnership is all about. And that is exactly right. We have to look at our love, our romantic life, our partnerships with our lovers and our husbands and our wives and our significant others. And it is a partnership, and to encourage and motivate, not make one another feel bad or belittle. And then another one, jump into a conclusion. Women tend to react based on their feelings. This can sometimes lead to overly emotional response, which is not always fair to their partners. And then jump into conclusions. Women sometimes have all or nothing feelings. When caught up in an emotional moment or argument, says Moffitt, and words like never and always are usually triggers for men. For example, saying you never surprise me anymore because a man feel like he's not getting his due credit. Remember, the little things he does for you, and be specific when you want to make your point. For instance, you can say, I love you when you bring me flowers. It really shows you care. It meant a lot if you did it more often. Every relationship takes hard work and open communication from both partners. Taking the initiative to understand what might cause your man to feel stressed is a positive step toward a happy and healthy relationship. And that's a good point. It's a really good point. So, really good point. It's almost time to conclude the program. And, exciting news. Next Thursday, I'm looking forward to seeing many of you fashionistas at the Girls Night Out event at Northport Mall next Thursday night from 6 to 8. We'll be there hosting, representing Avon, Mark Cosmetics. You know, Mark is celebrating his 10-year birthday. And, you know, I and many other markers have transitioned into Avon Lady. And so I will be there, my sales leader and my consultant district sales manager will be there on next Thursday. I immediately notified North Park when I found out about the Girls Night Out of it, scheduled for September the 12th, and I'm so excited to have the support of my sales leader and a consultant district sales manager, and also my original district sales manager, which is who's on medical leave. We plan on having a fun time networking with all the participants at Girls Night Out in Northport Mall in Ridgeland, Mississippi. Northport Mall is a exciting mall, and we are going to have a blast. I'm so excited, super excited. Looking forward to talking about Avon and Mark with you all, and also talking with the other vendors and retailers at Northport Mall. I grew up a mall brat, and I've worked in Northport Mall. I've worked for Dillard's, and I worked at McRae's also. And also, I was a fashion fair counter manager at McRae's department store a little over 20 years ago, and a makeup artist also for fashion fair, and did freelance work. I worked in freelance work for Flory Roberts at JCPenney's also. But, it's going to be a fun event, and I'm so excited, and I just want to let you guys know that, you know, it's been a thumbs up, and definitely a go. The party is on. Girls Night Out at Northport Mall next Thursday from 6 to 8, September 12th. Go ahead and pin it in. Save it in your cell. Do whatever, but we're expecting to see you and going to have so much fun. It's just unbelievable. So, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, let's continue on. It's almost time to conclude the program. And I shared some other articles within the past few days on my Tumblr page and Facebook and Twitter and all of that. Articles that I am, that I'm not talking about. There's one particular article that I wanted to talk about, but since we're going to be doing part two to this topic, hopefully I'll be able to share it with you next week. But before concluding, if we're talking about avoiding stress and all of that, there's another article that I found that have a lot of good ideas about reducing stress within our relationships and in our love lives and all of that. And I'm sharing it also as I talk about it on Facebook and on Twitter. Trying to share it on Facebook. Doesn't want to act right. Okay, it's on. I have it on Twitter right now. And if I can get it on Tumblr, I know I can get it a lot of other places because my Tumblr page is connected to so many of my other pages. But this is from professional counseling, and they talk about relationship stress and how stress causes relationship problems and vice versa. And it goes on to say that if you're dealing with relationship stress, the author says, "I'm so glad you've landed here. I can help you to manage this. Whether it's caused by problems in your relationship or by external sources. And again, this is from professional counseling. And your relationship matters. It's for advice to solve your relationship problems. And make sure I give you the information and share it too so you can subscribe and contact the authors of the article. And they say that relationship stress can be caused by drip effect of, for example, never-ending criticism, shouting, arguments, abuse, and so on. It can also come about as a result of a crisis, such as an affair, illness, the death of a loved one, or other problems. Exactly. We all are dealing with everyday situations, and sometimes we take things out on other people, on our significant others, our husbands, our wives, our lovers, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, etc. So it goes on to say that avoiding issues can provide temporary relief, but this may lead in the long term to reduce resilience when you're confronted with stressful situations. Stress, whether from inside or outside your relationship, is likely to affect the way you think, feel, and behave. This invariably impacts on your partner because of a vicious circle. I'm sure you're aware that there are physical consequences. The impact of stress can make you ill. Most definitely, stress can cause all kind of stuff within you, cancers and high blood pressure, a lot of things can literally make us ill. Stress can. If this page doesn't quite provide, I'm sharing this from their page of professional counseling, does not provide with what you're looking for, then scroll down a different link. So there's links also that I can share that you can share. You go to this page also as I'm sharing with you and reading from it. They go on to say that if you need an immediate help, before we go to this discuss stress in your relationship, there are other useful relationships on this blog, on this page. You all, if you can't find it, Google professional counseling, and you'll see all this information, because some of you might need to, you want to take, like, find out exactly what's going on and how to reduce stress within your relationships before something happens, and also dealing with your love life before you don't want anything else crazy to happen. Do you know your relationship needs in sorting? And they have an area called Save My Marriage Relationship. Even if your partner doesn't appear to be interested in it, you can make a difference all by yourself. And then there's a test that you can take called Relationship Capability Test. And if you think your partner is just causing you too much stress, you can take a relationship compatibility test. It may not be compatible. Then it goes on to do you think your partners might be about to leave you? And there's an article about how to get, you know, that partner back or whatever. But here we go about talking about stress. Are you stressed or is it your partner? You and your partner may be suffering from stress from external sources. And that's what we're about. And that's why the articles I shared before kind of went more into general lives. Each of you ultimately are responsible for your own recovery. If you blame your partner, other people, or the situation, you can get trapped in feelings of helplessness and hopelessness. It's not It's also not healthy for you as you end up wasting precious energy on stuff you have no control of. And I don't know about you, I don't have the time nor the energy to be wasting my time or your time, you know? So that is a good point. Is your partner or are you able to help? Ideally, you'll offer each other emotional and practical. Well, are you? That didn't even sound right, but I read it the way it's written. Ideally, you offer each other emotional and practical support. Have you asked each other if you're feeling stressed? Neither of you are mind readers. That's a good point. You should be compassionate enough to ask, how are you feeling? Do you feel relaxed? Are you stressed and all that? If your partner appears unable to help and or support you, try not to judge them. It may be that without you necessarily knowing, your partner's own well-being is not so good at the moment. That is a good point. Maybe unbeknownst to you, there are adverse family circumstances or stress at work that your partner did not want to burden you with. The author goes to say that I know from my work with police officers, for instance, that they often do not want to tell their partner what they've been involved in, as it can be too distressing. It could also be that he or she interpreted your grumpiness as you've been angry with him or her. You may have appeared overcritical. I really do understand that when you're stressed, everything seems just too much. It feels as though everybody is out to make life difficult for you. Excuse me. If you're supporting your partner, be sure to state what is and what is not okay for you. Suffering from stress long term may come at a cost to your relationship. Yet, it is vital, therefore, that you keep the channels of communication open. And then it goes to say that how to start calming things down. If there are problems in your relationship or marriage, now's the time to sort them out. Continue to do what you've always done. It's not going to change anything. Exactly. I'm afraid wishful thinking, and that's if you're single also or looking for love, so things need to change for the positive if you want to attract that right mate. You know? It goes to say, I'm afraid wishful thinking will only lead to further relationship stress. Stress causing relationships problems can come in many forms, including constant arguing, feeling unheard, feeling rejected, infidelity, disagreements over chores, sexual problems. When you get to the point where you just don't want to go home at the end of the working day, or you dread your partner coming through the door, your relationship just won't be satisfied anymore. I really advise you to consider getting professional help from an experienced couple counselor if this is your situation. Even if your partner doesn't want to go, you still can. At the very least, you won't feel so alone anymore. I remember when I was young and married at the young age of 19, 20, my first husband was a couple years older than me, and I suggested we get marriage counseling, and he went ballistic. And, of course, you know, what happened? We end up divorced, you know? But, you know, my second husband, we did have premarital counseling with the mosque because, you know, he was Muslim, Arab Egyptian Muslim, and we did go through a lot of counseling, but then that second marriage still did. That marriage failed also before 6 months, right? All these years later, I still cannot wait until I'm legally divorced. But I guess in a way, that was premarital counseling. After we got married, he kind of stopped going to, you know, to through the counseling process. I think he kind of got kind of bothered that I was so comfortable going to the mosque and attending counseling and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
Advice in marriage counseling, if it's from psychologists or from your church's pastor or from any pastor, it's important, you know, to make some kind of effort. But maybe back then, even I guess in the way I was getting counseling from my friends who were pastors and people who had been married a long time. But my first husband, he was ballistic. He was like, I am not going to no counselor any counselor for anything. But we were real young. But then young people can be mature also, right? There's some older people I know will not go to counseling, just like they recommend that if you do it, then just do it alone. You know, maybe eventually they'll come around, or maybe what you learn can help save the marriage. But again, you know, you know how much you can take. A celebrity we see in the news right now that's having marital problems is Chloe and Lamar. You know, let's see how this plays out. I believe both of them, I believe they're going to work at it. You know, I believe we're just watching, as we've been observing the Kardashian family, I believe Chloe's not throwing the towel in on her marriage. And if Lamar has any sense, and if he's in love with Chloe, he would do whatever needs to be done to salvage whatever's going on in their life, if to salvage his marriage and to whatever's going on allegedly with drinking and drugs to rectify that situation. Also, I don't know, so I say allegedly, because none of us know up front where we know about what we have heard in the media and all that about him getting arrested for the DUI and all that. But still, it seemed like Chloe won't easily just throw in the towel on her marriage, that she'll work hard on it. And Lamar, if he loves her and really want to work at it, he should, you know, do what needs to be done as in counseling for their marriage and anything else that might be affecting the stress of their marriage. I'm just bringing that up because that's a celebrity couple that we see experiencing a stressful relationship. And I didn't even know they were dealing with anything like that more than trying to have a baby, you know, until just recently when I was bombarded with emails in the past 2 weeks regarding Lamar have a drug addiction. I'm like, what? You know, this is like some wild stuff. I'm getting emails like crazy, you know. But then here are 10 tips for dealing with stress. Whether or not the problems in your relationship are the cause, if you or your partner is stressed, number one, accept that your partner can't read your mind. There is not evidence that reading someone's face can be unreliable. Have a look at things. And so on this page, you know, they have a lot of information. So they have, like, research information, and they have relationship pages that you can visit, number two. And then they recommend, number three, have a look at their pages where you can look at the signs and symptoms of nervous breakdowns. See, a lot of these nervous breakdowns that people experience can be prevented. We all need to take a break, you know, because, like, you all heard me talking for my birthday month. I need a break, you know, need to pamper me. You know, it's important for us to take care of ourselves and prevent nervous breakdowns, to take care of yourself and take care of your mates and your loved ones. But number one, take care of yourself and look out for signs and symptoms of potential breakdowns. It's important to relax and take a break from life. It's not worth it going through a nervous breakdown. And four, calm yourself or do whatever you can to calm your partner. As human beings, we're much better at finding solutions when we're calm. And number five, it goes on to say, write down your thoughts. And I write. I love to write. I'm a writer. I love to write. I've loved writing since I was an itty-bitty girl, sketching and drawing and writing. Write down your thoughts. It will help you to be more objective. And even on this site, they have a journaling page where you can learn more about it if you're not one that's into journaling. Six, engage in meaningful and enjoyable activities, even if it seems too much of an effort to start with. And that's important. That can be volunteering at your favorite organizations. I'm a volunteer with Carol Shelter, a no-kill animal shelter here. I volunteer with the political party that I'm affiliated with, Mississippi GOP. I do volunteer work. And then I also actually support other non-Republicans. But I just signed up for the Coleman Foundation here in Mississippi. So, you know, be a part of meaningful and enjoyable activities, or being a part of go to meetings. If you're into photography, go to meetups and meet and network with people in person and online. things that are meaningful and enjoyable, or if you're a sports fan, you know, do things that are meaningful and enjoyable. It does sometimes it does seem overwhelming, like I don't have time for that. But once you put that in your schedule and say, I have an hour a month or whatever to do this activity, then it would be habit, and you would see how it really reduces stress being a part of events that really interest you and really interest others. And then the people that you meet are just amazing. And then there's number 7, deal with external sources of stress. Your relationship or marriage is too precious. Challenge or accept it if you have no control, however difficult. And then they go on to talk about other areas to look over on this page. And it seems amazing. So I have a lot of study and a lot of inviting guests on the show to really talk about us from a professional aspect into dealing with our relationships and how not to allow stress to just overwhelm our lives and generally and our romantic lives also. Take some juniper-proven natural remedies, and they have advice even for that. And, you know, I'm a big proponent on holistic things to do and to live anything to try to make things better. So they have an area right there on this website that can help relieve symptoms of depression and tension and stress and anxiety. And there's something called Anger Soothe. And so I got to check out these products that they have, natural remedies. And last but not least, they go on to say that give your partner some extra positive attention to support, inspire, and soothe him or her. And also, if you need to help your partner cope with stress, and, you know, you're okay, but you need to help your partner cope with stress, there are 6 tips to support your other half, if it's your husband, wife, or you know, your partner. Encourage him or her to look at what I just shared you, the 10 ways to deal with stress, and accept that your partner reacts and deals with stress and solve problems differently than you would, even if you don't like or understand their ways. You know, that's sometimes where the problem arises. Right? The indifference. And then state clearly if something is really unacceptable to you. And then act like a sounding board and refrain from making judgments. Only give advice when asked. And, you know, that's hard to sometimes bite their tongue, right? But that's you know, sometimes that can cause situations, right? You might otherwise only increase the relationship stress if you're just pouring out advice and they don't want to hear your advice. Accept that you and your partner's time scale may be very different. And then it goes to say that there are 5 steps towards feeling better. Talk about what you've both achieved in all areas of your life. Write it all down and do not judge. This is your starting block. Include ordinary, everyday achievements. 2, decide what you're going to do to build on these achievements. And 3, break down your goals into small, measurable steps. And, you know, set review dates, 1 week, 1 month, 3 months ahead. And they even go into saying suggest board meetings. Because this is a doctor writing this. And goes ahead to say suggest board meetings to my clients. And that's a good way to look at your relationship. I know, you know, a lot of my friends who are in new relationships that really want their relationships to work, they're really putting it in and talk about how hard it is to maintain good, successful, healthy relationships. So to really put it on in and have a successful love relationship, you got to put that work in. And sometimes I guess we have to treat it like it is. You know, it's a love business, so keeping your relationship on the right track. So think frequently. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being certain death, how important is this particular issue? Am I getting stressed out about? And that's a good point also. You know, how important is it? Because you'll be wasting your stress and blowing up for nothing. And how to manage stress in your relationship. You're unlikely to be able to eliminate all stresses in your marriage or relationship. However, since relationship problems are one of the biggest causes of stress, I'm sure you agree that it makes sense to deal with them. Instead of hoping and wishing, why not get some counseling? It'll be a relief to be able to talk things through with someone completely independent. I'm, in a sense, only next door, just a phone call away. I know one of my neighbors, his son is engaged, and he told me that he was going to take his son to meet a couple that's been married for 60 years before he actually make that walk down the aisle, you know, and talk with this couple that's been married 60 years about the ups and downs and the hard work that it's taken them in these many years of marriage, the things that they have had to deal with, infidelities and raising children and marriage and finances and all of that. And, you know, it could be, that could be a counseling, that's a form of counseling, talking to people who have, you know, put in, paid their dues, you know. But this goes on to say how to support your partner or spouse. Remember that what might comfort you might increase someone else's stress level. And isn't that something? Because we're looking at ourselves, we're thinking, well, this helps me, it should help you, but it's not always the case. Support your partner whatever way he or she finds helpful, as long as they're not putting themselves or anyone else at risk. And that's what's really, really important. And then they're breaking down what's an introvert and what's an extrovert. An introvert is someone who is more at ease with their own thoughts and feelings, is more likely to be soothed by peace and quiet and solitary activities. An extrovert is someone who likes going out, getting involved, and being with other people, is more likely to cope by engaging in lively activities. And I am, you know what, I am a balanced introvert, extrovert. I am a person who, I used to always think of myself as an extrovert, but I am also an introvert. And it's a balance. Because, you know, there is a time to be at ease and to be with yourself and to go deep into yourself and do things alone. And then there is a time to be out there amongst the people, you know. But some people are completely introvert, some people are completely extrovert, you know. Some people are well-balanced in being introvert and being an extrovert, you know. Some of us are 40-60, you know, 30-70, you never know. But it goes on to say that, this is me talking, but it goes on to say that you are each on a continuum between introvert and extrovert. So that's what I just said, right? Try to work towards a balance to avoid the risk of becoming polarized, as they would certainly increase relationship stresses. And then it goes on to even talk about when children are involved, and it says stress involving your children. I have no living children. If my son was alive, he would be turning 25 on September 11, on 9/11. You know, he was born and died on the same day. It was a premature birth. But it goes on to say the stress involving your children. I can know better than let you watch Bruce Willis' presentation. So visit the website, because there's a presentation about stress in the family, on building happy families, and how the author of this article wished they had seen this when they were bringing up their son. It would have so reduced all stress levels. And it goes to say that if you and your partner have different ways of dealing with your offspring, you are potentially making life more stressful for each other. And so I'm going to share this video. If you're not on this website, Professional Counseling, yet, I'm going to put it out on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr. I put it on my Tumblr. It's going everywhere. And then finally, it goes to say that nothing lasts forever in life, not the good times, not the bad times. In the earlier the show, did I not say I shared that on Facebook, that good days sometimes turn bad, bad days sometimes turn good, but it's how we deal with our daily life experiences is what is important, and to trust God and believe in God, right? That's what I shared on Facebook this morning. That's what I shared with you early in the show, and this is what they're sharing in this article. Nothing lasts forever in life, not the good times and not the bad times. The author goes to say that I know that you can work towards resolving the issues and keep chipping away at the stress in your life, but try to remember that if your partner doesn't respond the way you like, you'll be wasting your energy complaining. Do what you can to become the person you want to be. That's deep. Do what you can to become the person you want to be. The emphasis is on you. Do what you can to be the person you want to be. You can become the person that your mate, your family, your friends want you to be, but are you happy? Are you satisfied? You know? Maybe you want to be the same as they want you to be, but be the person you want to be. And the Facebook page is Mind and Relationship Matters. Like that page. Like that page, and then you'll be directed to the links for the website. So that's real easy. That's how you can get connected. So I've shared this, and I thank you all for being a part. So I'm going to go ahead and, while I'm on this, let's just go ahead posting this on Tumblr, this video that I was just telling you about. It's about a family. It's TED Talks Director, and it's Bruce Filler, Agile Programming for Your Family. So I'm going ahead and sharing it on Tumblr so it can be a distributor amongst my other social media pages. And you might can hear a little bit of it. Hopefully I will tone it down so you can hear a little of it while I'm posting it. Yeah, this is an interesting article. And it's an 18-minute presentation. So I would play it so you can hear it in its entirety, but it's time to conclude the show. So I've shared it on Twitter, and so it's going everywhere right now. And I'm putting it on Facebook also. But, again, when I post things on my blog site at Tumblr, at KULTUREFHOKENT, Beth.tumblr, it is distributed.